All right, take your hymnals, if you would. Hymnals, right. We just did that, your Bibles, and turn to the book of Ephesians. And we are now on lesson number 3, moving right along. If you need lesson 3, raise your hand, please. Anybody need lesson number 3? All right, wow. You guys are doing a great job getting these passed out. That's a blessing. Again, our theme verse is Ephesians 1:3. That is for the whole book of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And now our lesson verse is Ephesians 1:7. And boy, it's a good verse. So we're going to go ahead and say it together. Just a short verse. We will say the reference, the verse, and then the reference again, and begin. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7, and again, Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. Thank you, Father, for that truth and really all the truths that are here in this book. And it sure is a blessing to have it, to be able to read it, to be encouraged by it, to be led by it, to learn from it, and then to know how to live. And I pray that you'll help us to gain truth today that will help us and guide us in our lives, that we might not only have the blessings of God revealed to us, but that we might realize those blessings and then be busy serving you and doing what it is you want us to do. Thank you for your grace, and help us to see it more so as we study this passage. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we are again, by way of review, I thought I'd just put the review there on the page. It's kind of a simple outline. Number one is the description, really only 3 verses that I divided that into, revealing our blessings, Ephesians 1:1-3. Then Roman numeral 2 is the doctrine. And I like the fact that this is some very, very deep, meaty doctrine. And yet, notice what I put, realizing our blessings. In other words, so many people, those doctrines, that's do this, don't do this, and all that. Well, that is part of doctrine, but understand doctrine is also realizing all that God has done for us. It's teaching, it's realizing the blessings of God. And really, chapter 1, verses 4 through chapter 2, verse 22, deals a lot with doctrine, and then I call it realizing our blessings because it is packed with the blessings that God has provided for us. We come to capital A, and that is our possessions in Christ, and then our possessions in Christ, number one, from the Father, which we've covered the last few weeks, his aim, his adoption, his acceptance. And then number two, our possessions in Christ from the Son. And we start off with capital A, pardon. That is one of our blessings from the Son, is a pardon. And verse 7 is our verse, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so a pardon. And that is certainly a blessing, to be pardoned. So I want to take some time and talk about that this morning under small a there. And if you do take notes, I've given you a lot of room to write things. Certainly, I don't expect you to write everything. I certainly can't ever do that. But if you jot some things down, these are blessings. To be pardoned is one of the great blessings provided in the salvation that God has provided for us. So it is certainly a wonderful, wonderful truth to be pardoned. And so our pardon is a blessing from the Son. And pardon is the release of a convicted person from custody. It is only given by the chief executive. It is not, the person is no longer regarded as a criminal because the pardon has the effect of wiping out the conviction. So again, let me go back. It is the release, the word pardon, it's the release of a convicted person. Here's somebody who has been convicted of a crime, all right? And they have been convicted and they are in custody, and a pardon releases them and they are no longer regarded as a criminal because the pardon wipes out the conviction. It's as if they were never convicted. Now, years ago, and ordinarily it was used only to free people whose innocence was established after they had been convicted. And that was years ago. But, as we think about a pardon in the Bible, it's certainly not a group of people found innocent as far as their own works. But in reality, we are found innocent because of his work. That's the amazing thing. It's because of, as it says here, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are found innocent. Again, all these doctrinal words that we seem to shy away from, and of course, when we get to Bible doctrines in our Christian school, the kids, those are hard words. Justification, and we used to have the cute saying, just as if I'd never sinned. And that is a fine way to describe justification. But in reality, justification goes a little further, and that's just as if I were Christ, because I'm hidden in him and he represents me, and it is just as if I were Christ. But that is how we have a pardon. It's because our sins are blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. But anyway, let's go through this and look at some things. Number one is our pardon is in Jesus. Our pardon is in Jesus. Okay, it's not possible without Jesus. There will be no evidence presented that will show you and I to be innocent. Amen? No, there's no evidence out there. There is no, when the accuser accuses us, he's right. He's not accusing falsely. He may accuse falsely, but his accusation, this person did this and this person did. We did. None of us are innocent. No one. As far as there will be no evidence to prove us not guilty as far as evidence of our own works. And so our pardon is in Jesus, in whom, the Bible says, we have redemption. And let's look at some verses. You can write them down. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Again, our pardon, which we'll talk about redemption here in a few minutes, but that is all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Silver and gold could not have paid the price. All the wealth in the world could not have paid the price. The wages of sin is death. The only way it could be paid was the substitution of the Lord Jesus. He died for me. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. In Christ, he died. He died on the cross to pay for my sin. Romans 5, verses 8 and 9, familiar verses, especially if you tell others how to be saved, which we should be doing. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, I guess one of the most amazing verses in all the Bible, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. People ask, why do you Baptists, why are you always singing songs about the blood? You know, you have this fascination. There is a fountain. I've heard people say, you know, we need to get that out of the hymn books. And there is a fountain, and there's power in the blood. Come on, what's wrong with you people? Well, without his blood, there is no pardon. There is no redemption. There is no forgiveness of sins without his blood being shed. Some have said, and we have many popular, I want to call them preachers, but they're not preachers. They're, you don't want to know what I think they are. Anyway, we have a lot of popular TV guys out there, and they're very popular, very well known, and they just say, oh, you know, it doesn't matter how Jesus died. Oh, it does matter how Jesus died. Well, he could have been strangled. He could have been poisoned. It does matter. It does. His blood had to be shed. Again, we don't have time to get into all that, but I want you to understand how precious the blood of Jesus is. We all need much more than being now justified by his blood. Notice it's not by our works. It's not by his death. One very popular guy. Some of you might even like him. I don't know. But he made the statement, oh, it's by his death. Totally ignoring what the scripture says. It wasn't by his death. It is by his blood being shed. And obviously, if we read our Old Testament, we understand a little bit more why his blood had to be shed. Because his blood had to be sprinkled on the mercy seat. And we have all that. We have it in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have him there with the blood and taking it onto heaven to sprinkle as our high priest, to sprinkle on the mercy seat. And again, all of that is absolutely essential. You cannot remove it from our doctrine. See, that's why our doctrine is so important. And if we don't know the doctrine, it is so easy for a world and a world system and religion and all of that to come in and say, well, as long as we all just get along and hold hands and put your hand in the hand and all that kind of stuff and sing kumbaya together, and we just need to all just kind of do this thing together. Not if you're going to leave out the blood, we're not going to do it together. Not if you're going to try to take the blood out of our songs. Folks, we need to stick with this. Because in our day, I'm telling you, there is an attack on the blood of Jesus Christ, and it is absolutely essential. One other verse, 1 John 1:7. There are many, many verses we could have looked at. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Bible says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So anyone who says, well, I don't need the blood because I don't sin. The Bible says you're deceiving yourself. And then verse 9, of course, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How are we cleansed from all unrighteousness? Well, the Bible says in verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Otherwise, it does not happen. And so it's not just for salvation. It is also for the rest of our lives here on this earth, because we do not ever, isn't it sad, we don't cease from sin. It's a shame. Our pardon is in Jesus Christ. It's not a religious institution. It's not the Baptist church. It's not being baptized back here. It is not doing a lot of good works here. It is totally in Jesus Christ. We are a Baptist church. I'm not ashamed of the name Baptist, though I'm ashamed of a lot of Baptists. But I'm not ashamed of the name Baptist, because it still stands for what it stands for. But Baptist isn't, we're not saved because of that name. We don't have redemption because of that name. We have redemption because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why when we have the Lord's Supper, this do in remembrance of me, Jesus said. Why? Because he's the one who shed his precious blood. And so our pardon, because my pardon, the fact that I am not guilty, I am no longer guilty, it is because of Jesus Christ. Our pardon is in Jesus. Then it says here in verse 7, it says that not only is our pardon in Jesus, but our pardon is according to the riches of his grace. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Grace again, there's that word. You know, God's love for the undeserving. Now I hope, again, as we talk about doctrine and all this, I hope we don't get caught up with a definition that means nothing to us. Amen. I remember in Bible college taking my Bible doctrines class. And by the way, when I went to Bible college, I was a new Christian. And so Bible doctrines was all new to me. Some of these people, they grew up with it. They grew up saying doctrinal things and having long lists of doctrinal things that they would say and they've memorized and all that. For me, it was all new to me. And I think maybe that's why, to some extent, I found myself having to chew on it a little bit as I memorized things. Grace, God's love for the undeserving. 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 Wow. And all of a sudden, you know, as a new Christian, I'm thinking about Amazing Grace, the song. Now that song's starting to make a little bit of sense. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus. Come on, I mean, really? Huh. God's love for the undeserving. Wow. I don't deserve God's love, and yet he loves me. I didn't earn God's love. It's not possible. You know, again, when we're in those growing up years and we're going through those teen years and we're trying to get that person to love us. I remember with Brenda, I bought things, did things, said things, you know, flowers, all those kind of, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just trying to win her over. I just got to get her to love me. But there's nothing I can do to get God to love me. He just loves me. I could not deserve his love, and I still can't. And so the fact that he loves me every day, it's grace. You understand? When we get to heaven, it's all going to be grace. Amen. He did. We still, even in heaven, we're not there because of what we did. We're not there because of our good works. We're not there. We don't have that beautiful mansion and the chocolate lake in front. We don't have anything there based because of anything we did. Right. It's there's our definition. God's love for the undeserving. Don't smile every now and then when you think about it. Get excited when we sing Amazing Grace. Enjoy. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus. And because it is matchless. Well, anyway, all right, I'm just doing a little preaching. Acts 15, look at Acts 15. Acts 15, 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. It's the only way, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. For by grace are you saved. Through the grace of God. There is no other way to get this pardon. How can I be found not guilty? Well, you sure aren't going to do it on your own merit. Right? It's going to be the grace of God. Romans 3, verse 24. Romans 3, 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There's two of our doctrinal words, justified and redemption. And there, right in the midst of it, is grace. You know, our pardon is God's grace, totally. No I'm going to send a list here of all the reasons why I should be forgiven. Sounds good, doesn't it? And the Bible says, and that's why it's so clear in the book of Isaiah, that my righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. Now, I want you to just think about this, okay? What would you write down if you were pleading for forgiveness? What would you write? Wouldn't you write down, well, here's what I've done. Would you write down bad things you did? No, you'd write down good things that you've done, right? You'd write down your righteousnesses. And God made it very clear in his word that even my righteousness is as filthy rags. It isn't going to work, is it? So it's totally by God's grace. Romans 11, verse 6. You do understand, as we study this doctrine of our pardon, you do understand why the world would have to invent some silly idea like evolution, don't you? You do understand that, don't you? Because the Bible tells us that we're sinners. We are condemned. There is nothing we can do. Evolution tells us we're getting better and better. We are getting better and better. The Bible says that it's going to get worse and worse. Evolution says, oh, no, 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 we're evolving. We're getting better and better. And of course, if we really were honest and looked around, we would agree that it's getting worse and worse. When Christ comes, the Bible says it'll be as the days of Noah. What'd God do? Sent a flood. The imaginations of man were only evil continually. Oh, worse and worse. Romans 11, 6, it says, and if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. You have to understand that if it's by works, then it's not grace. If it's by grace, then it's not works. Two don't don't work together. And so if it's by works, then we all go to hell. If it's by grace, we can go to heaven. Praise the Lord. Our pardon is according to the riches of his grace. Number three, it says that our pardon, and it doesn't say this, but we know this from the Bible, our pardon is full. It is a full pardon. All right? Go ahead and take our offering if you would, Ed. I appreciate that. Our pardon is full, and here's why. Because there are two words that are here. One is the word redemption, in whom we have redemption. Again, Ephesians 1, 7. Redemption through his blood. And then the second word is the forgiveness of sins. And so we have two doctrinal words that, they're big words. They're words that we don't necessarily use a lot. Forgiveness we would use more, I'm sure, than redemption. But they are Bible doctrine words that secure that pardon, that make our pardon a full pardon. Let me explain them to you, all right? First, redemption. Redemption. It says, in whom, in Christ, again, this is from Jesus, from the Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We have redemption. Redemption is to purchase and set free. Now, again, in those days, they would understand slavery. They would understand how a slave is bought, paid for, and then owned by the one who bought them. And so when you talk about redemption, redemption is to purchase and then set them free. And so I decide that I want to buy a slave, and I buy Dale Bowman. And Debbie sells me Dale as my slave. He's been hers all these years. And so she sells him to me for, what, $5? Would that do it? $10. $7.50. Anyway, so she sells me Dale, and now I own Dale. He is my slave. My car could use wash. No. But he's now my slave. Redemption is for me to, I have the sales receipt that I bought him. I own him. Debbie signed it. You now own Dale. You have to feed him, take care of him. I'm trying to give him back. All right. I can't afford it. No. But and now here's what I'm going to do. Dale, I own you. No, nowadays, it's gone. You're free. And that's what God did. Redemption, that's what redemption is. He bought us, paid for our sins, paid in full, and then he sets us free. I get so upset at fruitcake people that try to say that because we believe the Bible, we're all, well, you're just, you know, you're slaves. You don't have any freedom. You don't have any, I'm free. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm free. Well, you know, you got to do this and you got to do that. Listen to me. God wants me to want to do this and want to do that. I should serve him and have a clean life, not because I have to, but because I love him and I want to please him. That's all Bible. That's all Bible doctrine. But redemption, we are released never to be a slave again. Never. We are free. Amen. A couple of verses, Galatians 5:1. We'll just kind of think about our freedom here. Galatians 5:1. I just quoted this verse. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We, you know, well, I wanna be under the law, but the law will send you to hell. You don't want to be under the law. That's why all these people, you know, they, well, you know, we believe you have to do good works to get to heaven. Then you can't get to heaven. It's not going to happen. You're never, ever, 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 ever going to get that scale to balance in favor of you if it's your works. You will go to hell, period. It is impossible. If you are under the law, there is the whole reason Jesus came to die on the cross is because we could not keep the law. Romans says because we're weak in the flesh. That's why we don't keep the law. And you can't, and I can't, and therefore we are not under the law. Is the law a good idea? Of course it's a great idea. It's God's word. Why wouldn't it be a great idea? But I'm not basing my salvation on it. Because if I do, I'm lost. And that's exactly what he saw. Be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Do not get entangled in any law whereby you think that those good works are going to save you, because you will be in bondage and you will be lost for eternity. You cannot be saved by the law. It's impossible. Look at Romans 6, verse 14. Romans 6 and verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And so there are two opposites here, law and grace. When I got saved, I'm under grace. Thank God for that. Well, you know, I just don't happen to believe. If you don't believe that, then you are lost. If you want to stay under the law, that's exactly what a person is saying when they say, I don't want to get saved. That's what a person is saying when they say, well, you got to work your way to heaven. You have to be a part of this church or that church or this religion or that religion. You are going to be, then you will be lost. You are lost. You are still a slave to the law and to sin, because you're sinners. We're all sinners. Galatians 1, verse 4. Again, redemption. We are free. And that is what redemption means. Bought, paid for, set free. Galatians 1 and verse 4. And here's one that you're going to like. If I can get my page turned. My page is stuck. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. It is so wonderful to know that I don't have to sin. You say, yeah, but you said a while ago we do sin. Oh, we do so many times. Do you ever go to bed at night? We should do this often and just say, God, I really blew it today. I am so sorry. I just really, really blew it. You know, but he says here that he might deliver us from this present. See, we know we're being delivered when we go to heaven. We know that. Amen. Praise God for that. But this present evil world with all its temptations, all the allurements, all the pulling on our flesh, we don't have to sin. I'm not controlled by Satan and the world. I can say no. Praise the Lord. And the more that I grow in the Lord and the closer I get to him, the stronger and the more I learn about the armor of God, the more I can say no. And so that we can sing the song, "The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore." Kids love to sing that, and I often think they really haven't done that much. Boy, could I sing that. Amen, and I am so glad. "The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore." But it's not because of me. It's because he broke the shackles. And I don't have to do those things anymore. Praise the Lord. Colossians 1 verse 13. "Who had delivered us." Notice, we are delivered. I'm alive here on this earth today. But who had delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And here's why: in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We're delivered from the power of darkness. You hear people talk often about how they just can't help it. I've counseled so many people. Well, you know, I just can't help it. I do this and do this. And you know, when you get saved, you don't have to. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Boy, don't forget that. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. You can say no. I preach this all the time to our young people. I tell them, you know, God, there's a file. And the only way I can understand it, I realize in the day of computers, files, you know, they're all on computers and things like that. But in my mind, it's a file cabinet, because I think that way because I use a file cabinet still. Don't laugh at me. But Satan says to God, "Well, I want to go after so and so," just like he did Job. And so he's going to go after Dale. And so God tells the angel, "All right, get Dale's file out," and they see what grade Dale's in. And whatever grade Dale is in his spiritual walk with God, that's the only tests, temptations that can be used. He can't be tempted or tried or tested with a test that is years ahead of him. Never happens. So whatever you're going through, whatever temptation, whatever trial, you can win the test. You can pass the test. Nobody, no Christian, can say it's too much. It's not too much. Otherwise, God's a liar. You can succeed. Amen? And I tell our kids in school, I say, that is, the good example is a fourth grader will never receive a sixth grader's test. Doesn't happen. We don't give second graders 12th grade tests. Ever. It's not just, it's not right. Let me go a little further. If you just finished chapter 12, we're not going to give you chapter 13's test. Amen? Amen. If you just finished chapter 12, we might give you some questions from chapter 10 to see if you remember. Amen. We're never, never, we're not going to get into chapter 20. Ha, 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 how'd you do? And God doesn't do that either. God will, he'll not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. You always can win the battle. Praise God. Well, that's redemption. The next word is forgiveness. Let me give you this real quick. Forgiveness means to carry away. To carry away. You know, in Leviticus, it talks about the scapegoat. That's kind of a deep doctrine. But one goat was offered on the altar. The other one, sins were confessed on it. It was sent out in the wilderness. Remember that? That's a beautiful picture of forgiveness. All right? In other words, there are sins, they're carried away. That's forgiveness. If I forgive you for something, that means that that thing, whatever it is carried away. It's gone. It's been sent out in the wilderness. That old goat's not going to come back. Amen. It's gone. John 1, verse 29. Just write these down. John chapter 1 and verse 29. And the Bible says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Watch what it says. Which taketh away the sin of the world. There it is. There's that taking away. Amen. That's what he did. When he died on the cross, he made it possible that our sins could be taken away. I mean, gone. Amen. Psalm 103, verse 12. Psalm 103, verse 12. Again, we're talking about forgiveness. Psalm 103 and verse 12. Now I need to hurry. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that a good verse? That's pretty far away, east and west. They're pretty separate. What's that mean? It means there are three kinds of forgiveness. Just write these down. First of all, personal forgiveness. The personal forgiveness. God is angered by our sin. God is hurt by our sin. But when that sin's taken away, it's gone. It's like the prodigal son. Perfect example. The prodigal son, boy, you talk about how he hurt his dad. It's just hard to imagine. But yet that father, what did he do? He stood and watched for his son to come home. Personal forgiveness. Then there's ethical forgiveness. What's that? Well, we feel guilty and burdened by our sin, and God takes that away at the cross where we don't have to feel guilty and burdened by our sin anymore. I talk to people all the time. Oh, I just feel so bad about all that stuff I did. Okay, listen to me. You need to believe in forgiveness. And if God forgives you, why in the world don't you forgive you? Their lives are a wreck today, and they don't have to be. When you grasp that forgiveness means to carry away, your sins are gone. Why do you keep bringing them up? And then, of course, there is a legal forgiveness. Legally, we deserve judgment, but our sins, because they're under the blood, atonement means to cover. our sins are covered by the blood. They are gone. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Do you understand? Washed away, they're gone. Sometimes I don't like spiders. I never like spiders. Spiders bother me. They're ugly. They're nasty. Anything that has more than two eyes bothers me. It just really does. And anyway, these spiders, sometimes I'll get up in the morning and I'll turn the light on in the bathroom, get ready to get in the shower, and I'll look and there'll be a spider. Because a spider will get in the bathtub and it can't climb out. And there it is. What do you do? What do you think I do? I turn the water on. Amen. I do too. And I watch, and I'll watch that spider, and I'll turn it on and try. I don't care how big it is. It'll eventually go down that drain. So why don't you just grab it and throw it in the, well, because I don't like spiders, especially when they have hair. It bothers, they offend me because I don't. And you know, when it's gone down the drain, you know what that means? It's gone. I don't even look for it anymore. Now, my wife, she thinks snakes and rats and everything else will come up out of the drain, out of those little teeny holes. But I try to tell her it's okay. You know, every now and then you hear about a snake coming up somebody's toilet. And anyway, probably not in Michigan. But praise the Lord, they are gone. Amen. And they're washed away and gone. Father, thank you so much for the truth of the scripture this morning and this wonderful, wonderful verse in the Bible. Thank you for the pardon that you give us because of the redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for providing that for us. And bless our morning service now. Give us a great, great service. Speak to hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.